Hey everybody, welcome back to the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. Today I'm excited to bring you another fantastic and exciting guest. I have to say, I have met Kevin just briefly and I'm already super stoked about our conversation. So you are in for a super awesome treat. Please welcome to the show Kevin Palmieri. He's the founder of the Next Level Universe and the Next Level University Podcast. So Kevin, welcome. Please introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about your backstory.
Thank you so very much for having me, Lindsay. I appreciate it so very much. Yes, I'm Kevin Palmieri. I'm the founder and the host of Next Level University. We're a global top 100 podcast with 2,190 episodes, I think, as of today. And our goal is to help people get a little bit better every day. That's really what we do. We do a daily show all about that. So I'm somebody who was raised by my mom and my grandmother, didn't know my dad. I didn't meet my dad until I was 27.
Okay.
So I was somebody who I think I was kind of cut out to not be successful. That was my mindset, at least. Lower middle class, didn't have a lot of money, didn't do great in school, didn't go to college, and started to think I'm going to be in a little bit of trouble here. Worked a bunch of odd jobs. I worked at a gas station. I was a truck driver. I was a forklift operator, personal trainer, tiling, cleaned bathrooms overnight, just a bunch of random stuff. Eventually, though, I fell into an industry called weatherization. Most people have never heard of that. It just means we went into buildings and made them more energy efficient. That's it. And I went from making $15 an hour as a construction laborer to anywhere from $60 to $120 an hour doing this new job. And I fell into the trap of thinking, okay, now that I'm quote unquote successful, all of that internal stuff I've been pushing down for my entire life should probably work itself out. And I had a great car. My girlfriend at the time was a model. I was competing in a bodybuilding show, so I was quite literally in the best shape I'll ever be in. And a year after all of that, I sat on the edge of the bed contemplating suicide because I was depressed and I was anxious and I had been running from my past. And it was just that the classic story of thinking that money is going to buy happiness. So that was the lesson that I learned. I started a podcast because I realized for most of my life I had lived unconsciously. The opposite of unconscious is hyperconscious. So I started a podcast in 2017 called the Hyperconscious Podcast, fell in love with it clearly. But as you know, in the beginning, Lindsay, there's not a line out the door of people saying, this is a great idea. How much money do you need to quit your job and go all in on this? So I had to go to this job that I hated. And again, it kept getting worse and my mental health got worse. And one morning I sat on the edge of a bed and I remember thinking it feels like there's 10 televisions on in my head at the same time. And every single one is on a different station. And one is telling me I'm stuck here forever. I got lucky. I'm never going to be successful like this again. What would my family think if I left? What would my friends think if I left? Am I going to be a successful podcaster? That's what we're going to do. And it was in that moment where I had a real serious thought about suicide. I ended up leaving my job a couple months later. And yeah, as of 2018, we went all in on this mission. And here we are 7 years later. And now we're quote unquote successful. But it was absolutely brutal getting to the place that we are today. And I want to make sure we touch on that because I didn't just go from leaving my job to where we are. It got worse for a long time.
Well, I think it, I mean, the fact that your story starts about building up that image of success, you know, especially when you, I don't know if this is just in, I'm feeling like I'm relating in a way because both of my parents passed away very young. And so a lot of my life was developed in just wanting my dad's approval. In your case, it could have been an imagined approval of an authority figure of some sort. And that almost like sponsors us to go off and achieve this greatness that we think we, although though it doesn't feel like it, but we're defining it based on what we think somebody else is thinking. I think you mentioned your grandma and your mom being an instrumental part of that. But you know, for me, it was my dad. I wanted to feel like he was proud of me. And he was a businessman and he was very, in my opinion, successful. He had built his own level of success. And I just so badly wanted him to say, I'm proud of you. And it wasn't until, you know, finally one day I was like in my 20s and somebody said, you don't owe him anything. I mean, he'd already passed away at this point. And I'm like, are you sure? I still felt this like internal dialogue with my dad who wasn't even on this earth anymore and this internal striving. And it wasn't until I finally it was like, it really isn't relevant. But it felt weird to say that at the same time, you know, when you're going through that paradigm shift and your whole brain and body is like rewiring,
Yeah.
it feels very disconcerting, almost like you're on shaky ground and you don't know what the future is. There's no confidence and no clarity. And it is a very nerve-wracking feeling. I can feel it right now, even just remembering. So I definitely can relate. And I'm sure other people have gone through that too, you know, that are listening that
Well,
can relate to that.
it makes logical sense to think what you don't have when you're young, if you do have when you're older, will fix things. It's like, I didn't have this screw. I got the screw. Now I can put the thing together. Unfortunately, we don't work that way. So I think the one of the reasons it's such a common thing is there's a lack of self-awareness, right? I didn't know why I was doing what I was doing. I just thought that's what I was supposed to be doing. And I did it and I did it well. And then, you know, sometimes it takes that quote unquote success for you to realize that's not what you actually wanted.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Isn't that interesting? Well, so then at what, so there you were. You were just, what ultimately made you walk away? Did you have a moment? Did you have a thought? Did something divine happen that just was like, no, this isn't the answer. Suicide's not the answer for me. I must do something else. Or was there some sort of external intervention? Like what actually made that change for you?
I reached out to a friend that I trusted, and he's actually my business partner, so it's worked out quite well, right?
Yeah.
It's aligned really nicely, but I reached out to him. He was essentially my mentor at the time. We were friends, but he was mentoring me, and I just explained what I was going through, and I was on this journey at that point. I was already on a journey of self-awareness, and I felt like I'd learned so much about myself, but I felt like my environment was kind of trapping me. And he said, over the last couple of years, your awareness internal has changed a ton, but your external environments have remained the same. And for me, that was just the unlock of, wait, so I can do something else? There is another option. There is another decision. And it gave me permission to think of something else. And in that moment, I realized this job is not forever. I went on for the next 2 months or 3 months. And then one day, I was supposed to do something for the podcast. I already had told my job about it. They said, no, you can't do it. And I was like, well, I'm done. That it is what it is. I have to choose the second thing. And that was it. Then we were off to the races of trying to figure out how to do this and getting more broke by the day, unfortunately.
Right. Oh my gosh. And that's where the grit comes in. I think every entrepreneur can understand that concept. And like they say, you know, the only way you can fail is to quit, right? And then we shit on ourselves like, oh yeah, I should stick with it. Am I doing the right thing? Maybe I need to change and branch out and try 20,000 different, you know, other people's solutions for my business and all that crazy chaos that goes on. So hey, it's Lindsay, and I want to pop in here because I know how overwhelming it can be to get started building an online business. I've even spoken with people who've paid thousands of dollars for help from people who are truly experts in this, and they're still feeling confused about what direction is right for them or if their idea is even a good one. Listen, you don't have to guess or pray or hope or any of that. There is a way to test the market to ensure your idea is a good one so you can launch with confidence. And that's exactly what I show you in this simple 35-minute video training. I keep it simple because I know you already have so much swirling around in your brain. I'm not here to add more confusion because what you need right now is clarity. And that's what's in store for you in the short training called How to Tell If Your Idea Will Be Profitable. Access the video right now by texting the word freedom to 55444. Stop guessing and start taking strategic action. Text freedom to 55444. All right, back to the show. How did you find clarity in that moment? How did you know, take those next baby steps to kind of get through that murkiness?
We always went back to personal development. So I am under a firm belief still to this day that the reason I am not more successful is most likely because I don't deserve to be based on something that I just haven't picked up the tool yet. So it was literally, okay, what am I good at? Let me double down on that. Where do I need the most work? I am going to become obsessed with learning that stuff. And it was in the beginning, it was business books, and then it was money books, and then it was relationship books. So I just went to work with trying to learn as much as I could. That was a piece of it. And then the second thing, and I think this is really good for all entrepreneurs, I went straight to the audience. And I realized very early on, so this is technically year two of the podcast, everybody that reached out on social media to tell us about their journey and listening to the podcast, they're all women. I thought, as a tattooed bodybuilder, it's going to be men that listen to the podcast. Like, that's what I expected. So I would literally give out my phone number and say, hey, I'd love to hop on a FaceTime call. I'd love to learn about you, what your journey's been like, and I want to do an episode on what you've been through. We were doing market research in real time while building relationships. And that, as you and I kind of talked about that behind the scenes, that has probably been the most valuable thing we ever did, is we said, here's how you can get to us. Not, you got to jump behind this wall and pay this. No. This is how you can get to us, and you can get to us whenever you want. We learned about the audience, we learned about the problems, and then we just dedicated ourselves to doing content on that, and things kind of grew and compounded from there. But yeah, one, work on me. Two, let's talk directly to what it is that our audience actually needs help with.
And then three, still work on you, because you said something really
Yes.
paramount at the beginning, which I could sum up with two words, was radical accountability. You ultimately just said, ultimately I'm only as far as my own tools and ability. I love that. I have to say that is my favorite thing that I've heard on this podcast myself, like from a guest,
I
because
appreciate that.
it is so powerful. And as a coach, as a business coach, I often feel nervous because I'm pointing out the place where, we are ultimately the leaders of our business. It can only be as far as good as we're willing to let it go.
Yeah.
And oftentimes that's probably one of the biggest mental hurdles I see, is this thinking it's outside of us. Is that, but you know what? At the same time, that's liberating, because when we think the problem's outside of us, we think we need something outside of us to fix it. But when we see ourselves as a limiting factor, we always have the empowerment to make that difference. And that's
That's
so cool.
beautifully said.
Yeah.
I've gotten so much feedback along the journey that at this point, I understand that lying to myself and deluding myself into non-truths feels really good, but one day it's coming for you,
Yeah.
right? So our quote, and something we learned pretty early on, was you're going to get feedback no matter what. You either get it along the way in bite-sized tangents, or you get it all at once in a meal that you cannot consume. I've gotten that enough times. I don't want to get that anymore. So I appreciate it. I appreciate the kind
Yeah.
words.
Amen to that. Well, very cool. So let's dig into the business side of it. So after a couple of years, the podcast is starting to get legs. You're building up a community. Let's talk about some systems that you might have implemented that you maybe didn't even know at the beginning would become systems, but ultimately proved to be really transformative. Do you have anything that really stood out?
I mean, in the beginning for us, it was post on social media every day and try to connect with a potential audience member. I mean, that was the thing. If somebody is looking at my story, let me reach out and say, hey, Lindsay, thank you so much for the love of my story. I hope you're doing well. No sale, none of that. And somebody would come back and say, oh my goodness, I can't believe you reached out. I love the podcast. Oh, perfect. How'd you find us? Boom, boom, boom. So it was that. And then very early on, and I must credit my business partner with this, I had nothing to do with it. He's an engineer, so this is the way he thinks. We started building lists. So this person joined our Facebook group and joined our email list. Oh, so they are somebody who's really into what we're doing. This person came to this and this and this and this. This person is the top of the top. They love everything. So we started to categorize people by how invested they were in the company. That helped us tremendously because you want to talk about knowing who warm leads are. That was a really important thing. And then we always try to include the audience. So if I was having a conversation with you, hypothetically, I would say, hey, we're having Lori Harder on the podcast in a month. Any questions you wish she's been asked that she hasn't yet? And if somebody gave me a good question, I would be happy to ask that question
Love
on their
that.
behalf. So
Yeah.
it really, for us, our system was make the community and make the audience feel like they're a part of the journey, because without them, there is no journey. And I think we tried to do that humbly. Yes, I'm growing and I'm trying to get better every day, but without the audience, we're just two guys talking into a microphone in somebody's basement.
Yeah,
So
it's like an empty chamber. And you know what? That's the beauty of what AI can't do. I love that you brought that up, because I think so many people in this modern era, we think, oh, man, and this goes back to that whole should conversation as a business owner. You know, I should be elevating my status by reducing how much time I'm doing X, Y, or Z. And so, therefore, I should be automating this. Or there's so many tools out there and I'm not tapping into them. It's that fear of missing out. But what I love about what you're saying is you're just wrapping your arms around people and building that connection, and that's never going to be something a robot can do, I don't think, to the level that we always have that capacity of our human nature, and that's literally what makes us special
Yeah.
as humans,
Yeah. Well,
each
there's
other, and
something to be said about being relatable. Like
yeah.
that's it, relatable doesn't always mean people feel like they're like you. It means that they feel like they can connect with you. And sometimes it's just internally like, oh yeah, I feel like I understand that. But other times it's just having a conversation with somebody. And I think as a it's different, I guess, as you're if you're a business owner because you're thinking of, okay, I have a product, I have a service, whatever it is. In the beginning, as the business owner, we were the products and the services. And it was really important to just understand that there's a person on the other side. Every listen is a person. Every view is a person. And if you only have 15 people listening, good, because you can find those 15 people. That's what we became obsessed with. And that was really the system for us. And here's a little side tangent. I didn't realize how valuable this is going to be, but we really focused on just like getting a little bit better. So to this day, AI has never titled one of our episodes. It never will. I'm not interested. I've titled 99%. My business partner has helped with some. I didn't realize that skill acquisition compounds. That is the system is if I get a little bit better at this in 5 years, I'll be really good at that. I didn't understand that in the beginning. As weird and strange as that might sound, I woke up one day and was like, oh, I'm actually pretty good at this thing. Oh, I've done it 1,000 times. But I didn't feel like I got any better any of those 1,000 times. But now the accumulation has crossed the threshold. So the system has been just get a little bit better every day. And eventually you're going to get to somewhere pretty bright if you do that.
Right. It's so true. Do you have any sort of automation set up in your business that you are okay with? Like, where might you see that be a place, have a place in your business, if at all?
Our automation is mostly through people, right? So we have an audio editing team. We have a video editing team. We use ChatGPT for some stuff. We use AI for some stuff, but no, not really. Yeah, we have very little automation. I just don't think we're at the place where we're beyond effort to scalability. We just haven't reached a threshold where we need to be that automated yet, right? And I love the fact that you have spoken about this, how for a lot of people, it's almost like a flex. Like, well, I don't do anything. It just runs itself. I think you could be doing more then. I think you could be having more impact. You could be helping more people. You could be making more money if you were willing to dip your toe back in. So, yeah, there's very few things that are actually automated for us. And if they are, it's through somebody on the other side who is making their life better as well.
Well, and it's interesting too. I almost dare to say that, people who are flexing that muscle of, hey, my whole business is automated and I barely have to do anything. And look at me, I'm off in the Bahamas. You kind of wonder how much of their business is really about serving people, or is it just about serving themselves? And there's that line that we must, that's the dance. That's the truth within ourselves that we get to stand in or stand out of,
I do. I do. We went to a conference one time, and the first thing they said was the only reason to start a business is to make money. And we left. That was it. We left right after that. That's not true. If that's the case, I could do anything. I could have a liquor company, I could have a porn company, I could have a cigarette company. That's no. It is a necessity to scale a business. Obviously, you have to make some money, but I think the impact matters way more. So yeah, I can't scale this, or I can't automate this.
What's really interesting, Kevin, is so I used to ho I managed a podcast for a multifamily real estate investor mindset coach. So he didn't teach the multi-level or the multifamily investing side of it. He was the mindset coach of it. And he used to tell me, these people would get into investing, multifamily investing, because of like we're talking about, they're chasing the money, and inevitably they would feel like they weren't making impact. They lose, just like what you went through. I went through something similar. I moved up here to Idaho. I quit my job. I took a year off of working because I was like, I'm done working. And I too found my own like suicidal moment where I'm like, I didn't have purpose. My purpose was missing. And I think that's proven when we talk about, I think, is it called Blue Zone? Have you talked about her ever heard about the Blue Zones? I think that's what it's called. I'd have to Google it. My sister was telling me that they've been studying about areas in the world where communities are, they have like community purpose built around. So seniors are, their purpose is to help the young people, and it's a very community thing, just indigenous in a lot of cases. Well, ultimately these seniors end up living way longer than many of us do in modern society because we lack a purpose, and we almost think, well, my purpose is done, the kids don't need me, I'm out, right? And so it's kind of the same thing with business. I think if our main purpose is just to make money, it's a very empty purpose, and it will not leave us feeling fulfilled. Ultimately, we're going to feel like we need a bigger calling. It's what calls entrepreneurs to burn down what they've built because it's not serving their deeper sense of who they are. And I'm actually, that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you next was, how does what you're doing now give you that satisfied feeling? You know, that feeling when you just get to the end of the day and you're like, man, I am doing exactly what I came to this earth to do. Like, what is it that's different about this business than anything else you've done in that? And how do you know that this is your path?
I get to directly impact people every single day. I get to literally talk about something I'm super passionate about that actually directly impacts people, and then I get to hear about it, and then it helps me do it again. It's that I'm actually proud of what I've created. I had never felt that before. I am so proud to say this is what I do every day. It's literally a dream come true. I pinch myself. That's why I try to show up with energy and humility. Like, I'm going to give you everything I got because this was my dream. And if I lose sight of that, I've lost sight of the whole thing. So those are two things. And I think the third thing is I kind of get to grow for a living. As somebody who is leading the charge, if I don't grow, this business doesn't grow, the impact doesn't grow, nothing grows. So I have signed up with the responsibility and privilege to grow every day. And if we think from the perspective of fulfillment is probably an equation of growth, contribution, impact, and awareness, I'm pretty much locked into that for the rest of my life. So I should be pretty fulfilled if I keep doing it. So I think it's the perfect storm of all that.
I love it. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
Of
Because I think
course.
that's a big piece of it. You know, as we're going along building things, we might even just be wondering, those of you listening, like maybe you're at a place in your life where you're just wondering, is what I'm building my ultimate calling? Like, have you ever just been in that moment? You know, I'm kind of speaking to the audience here where it's like, I think we've all been through that where we're like, is the work that we're putting into this really worth it? And I want you to imagine yourself in a place where Kevin's at right now, what he just described, and think to yourself, like, is this truly speaking to my heart? Because if it isn't, now's a great time to make a pivot. You know, check out his podcast, keep listening, keep striving for that, because that's what freedom really is. And I think that's really the ultimate calling of this podcast is it's not just about the money, and it's not just about the check boxes of success. It's really truly about feeling that fulfillment, that freedom, that lifestyle. Your business is providing you that lifestyle that gives you that heart, and you get to feel the interaction with your audience. I just truly love it. What a beautiful transformation. It's more than a transformation. It's like an integral whole part of the world coming together. I just love it.
Well, I appreciate it. I love the fact that freedom has a definition that's personal from your perspective. I love that because a lot of times entrepreneurial freedom is time freedom, money freedom. The business just does it. I love how you're challenging people to redefine what freedom is and giving them, more importantly, giving them permission to make freedom whatever it is for them. I love that.
Thank you.
You're
Well, it's
welcome.
been my own journey. You know, the podcast started out about time freedom and money freedom, and I did not feel fulfilled. And therefore, it was like, you know what? This is about like mission freedom. I think it's a
I love
bigger
it.
thing than that. So yeah, that's why you're the perfect guest for this show,
I
and why
appreciate it.
we're switching gears here. We're not just talking, we're talking about strategy, but we want to talk more about the mindset behind it. And that's what I love about it.
I
I'm
appreciate
curious
it.
if you could impact us with, you know, maybe a leadership mindset tip to help people truly advance in this mission to find their freedom. Does anything come to mind that maybe just is a really powerful statement for us?
The only way to truly lead somebody is to know them. You can try to lead people the way you like to be led. That's like trying to market the way you like to market. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean it's going to work. That's one piece. I think the best form of leadership is leading by example. I will never ask anybody to do something I won't do myself, for sure. That's like we're built on that. That's the second thing. And I think the third thing is one of the keys to leadership that a lot of us are missing out on is an easy way to lead someone is to show them how the thing is going to help them, not help you. It's not about this is how it helps me. This is how it helps you get the goals that you decided you wanted. As a coach, I'm sure you know that. I'm a coach as well. So that's always, you gave me permission to help you get this goal. This is a piece of you getting this goal. So it's not about me. It's about you. And it's about the necessity and the desire that you had to accomplish this thing in the first place. It's way deeper than just an action, right? It's an action with an outcome. So I think those are a few examples. And then I would say it does not make you a hypocrite to change your leadership style. Like as you change, your leadership style is going to change. And I think we should be open to that. I think having the permission, giving ourselves permission to that. If you're different than you were a year ago, everything's going to be different. That's totally fine.
And I would bet piggyback that by I always like to give people a way to lip load them, like to help them verbalize that transition, because I think that's the part that gets us stuck. You know, we think, oh my gosh, if I show up as a different leader today, suddenly people are gonna right there just stop, because people are gonna, who cares? That's the end of that conversation. But the real key here is to simply say to yourself, if you've given yourself permission, then you can also give yourself permission to vocalize that and say, hey guys, I've really been doing some deep thinking. I'm evolving. These are some new things that are coming up for me. By the way, I invite all of you guys to be leaders within your own right. And as such, we're going in this direction as a company because my vision has changed, right? As soon as you give yourself permission and you give yourself the freedom to say it, people also feel that surrender within themselves that they need to look within and to go, you know, deeper, which ultimately makes your company better, because everybody who's rising up, you know, like they say, you know, ships, rising tides raise all ships, and that's exactly what you're doing. You're leading by example. So I just want to give you permission to put that, to voice that, and to share that, and you'll see that people will not think negatively of you. They will actually be more indebted and loyal to you because you've now given them something for them to have within themselves.
Beautifully
So
said.
yeah, it just came out of me. I'm like, I gotta get this one
I
out.
love it. I love it. Beautifully said.
Wonderful. Well, so leave us with the best place for people to find, or do you have any gifts for the audience? Anything they
Oh
can.
man. If you're a podcaster, I'm happy to do a free 30-minute call with you. No strings attached. I'm not going to sell you anything. I don't care if 1,000 of you book. I'll find a way to make it happen because it's not automated. It's just me. So yeah, I'm happy to reach out. My email is kevin@nextleveluniverse.com. Just say you heard me here. You want to do a podcast call. I'm happy to do that. The podcast is called Next Level University. If you want to follow me, my wife, and my cats, my handle on Instagram is @neverquitkid. I would say those are the three best places.
All right, and we'll be sure to link those in the show notes,
Thank you.
fellas. So, again, thank you so much, Kevin, for
Of
joining the show.
course.
It's been a treat.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much.